today's talk is going to be very much in the domain of philosophy. I think the last one I did was more in the domain of Buddhism, but you could argue they're all in the same domain, really. I'm going to start off with just a very short opening reading. And this is basically just a quote from Plato's Phaedo. So Plato wrote several books which concerned the death of Socrates, and this is one of those books. In the course of my life, I have often had intimations in dreams that I should make music. The same dream came to me sometimes in one form and sometimes in another, but always saying the same or nearly the same words. "Make and cultivate music," said the dream. And hitherto I imagined that this was only intended to exhort and encourage me in the study of philosophy, which has always been the pursuit of my life and is the noblest and best of music. So the title of the main presentation is Philosophy in Transit, or Don't Let the philosopher, particularly Zeno, drive the bus. And if you don't know who Zeno is, who's famous for various paradoxes, I will explain later in the talk, so it will become clear as why I don't particularly want Zeno driving the bus. I'm probably actually comfortable with some philosophers driving the bus, and there's probably a number of bus drivers who are also philosophers. But Zeno, probably not, based on some of the paradoxes. So one of my favourite books of all time is Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I didn't get around to reading it until around 2000, when it was recommended to me by a student on an information management course that I was teaching on at the time. They suggested that I would find a lot of really useful material in it that would actually complement some of the more human aspects of information management that I was talking about. And since that initial suggestion, I've returned to the book many times and found something new to take away each time. But what I've found most interesting about the book, from my point of view, is not actually the habits themselves, but the way the concepts and stories that Covey sort of woven around these habits that were in the book. And sometimes I like to take a concept and sort of reframe it in another format. And one particular concept that's explored fairly early in the book is under the first things first habit, and that's the use of what's called a quadrant. So he envisages this quadrant where you have 4 parts of the quadrant, and he's talking about time management. So the 4 parts of the quadrant are important and urgent, important but not urgent, urgent but not important, and not urgent and not important. And in essence, what Covey's trying to do is trying to focus on shrinking down all of those quadrants so that you end up with a focus on that which is important but not urgent, because it's a time management concept. Now, this use of decision-making style quadrant is not exclusive to Covey. I've seen other people use it in other domains, some people rather well, some people not so well. There was a famous thing where someone was trying to talk about the unknown unknowns and got in all sorts of confusion. But what is really useful is actually for looking at other two-dimensional relationships. And so I thought one of the things I'd weave this talk around is that, so for this discussion, really, a two-dimensional relationship like spirituality and religion. So if we use that 4 quadrants analogy again, you could have someone that would say they're both spiritual and religious, someone that might say they're spiritual but not religious, someone that would say they're religious but not spiritual, and someone that might say they're not religious and not spiritual. So you get the idea. I feel that I sort of fall into that final category where now I don't think I'm really that well, I'm not religious and I'm not spiritual. So it's like, what is there for me? Well, for me, there's philosophy. Now, what's interesting about philosophy is that I'm of the opinion that it should always be about something. Okay, so there's intentionality in philosophy. But you can feed it back on the quadrant and you go, well, there's a philosophy of spirituality, there's a philosophy of religion, and I suppose there's also the philosophy of quadrants as well, if you're being really picky. So I think you get the impression of like this, that I do spend an awful lot of time either thinking about doing or reading philosophy. And you probably also wonder, is outside of my normal breakfast time philosophical monologues, which I suspect only the cats are actually listening to, I actually find the time to do all that. And what I do, my secret weapon is Metro Transit. So that's why this is titled Philosophy in Transit, is because a lot of the time I'm on the bus. Now, my commute, like a lot of people, is probably a substantial time of their day if you're in sort of in employment. And I spend about 45 minutes each way on the bus. So I think, well, you know, I might as well use that time. And I'm not like a gadfly on the bus. I don't go around going to people, what is justice? Or why is there something rather than nothing? I'd probably be escorted off the bus, I suspect, if that happened. So I fill my time by reading about philosophy and listening to podcasts about the nature of ideas and just running through various applications in my head. Now, the problem with all of this is, of course, I find from my background in teaching and lecturing is that it does help if you have some sort of structure in all of this, because otherwise it gets very desperate and all over the place. And you can just end up, what this lovely word, you can end up dirdling around in philosophy. And I don't really want to be firing off arrows randomly, my philosophical arrows off randomly, so I could lose track of where my arrows go. So over the years, I've found loads of different frameworks in order to do this. And in at least two occasions, I've used things like the Teach Yourself books, followed up on the recommended readings, and I've read a couple of History of Philosophy books. One in particular is Bertrand Russell's book, History of Philosophy, to some degree of unreadiness, I think, or unreadiness. And I'm also a big fan of the In Our Time series on BBC Radio 4, which is a programme based, a podcast about, and a programme about the history of ideas. And I became very interested recently in a YouTube channel called The School of Life, and all the stuff on there. So I've got all these sort of like hodgepodge of different resources, and it's like gluing them together. So what I decided to do is hunt out a book called, which Nigel Warburton has recent, well, it's not that recent, but wrote, called The Philosophy, The Classics. And how I do this is I allocate 2 weeks per chapter. So I have my Philosophy, The Classics. I read the book. He's also rather helpfully done a podcast, so I listen to that on the bus. And then I attempt to read through the particular classic of that particular chapter. And then I basically look at other complementary podcasts from Melvin Bragg's excellent In Our Time series, which I've mentioned. And I also have a number of reference books, so I can like cross-reference stuff I don't really understand or read around in other areas. And I have my trusty Kindle and my trusty, where's it gone, my wonderful iPod Nano. Okay, so that's how I manage all of this. And what I also try and do is like try and track down at least one quality documentary on the philosopher in question. And I must admit, I'm pretty excited about this framework. It seems to be working really well. And at the time I was writing this presentation, because I have this habit of writing a presentation about 2 weeks before I deliver it and then just put it to one side, I was actually reading about reading Aristotle's Nicomedean Ethics. And I was actually found I was really devouring the book, which quite surprised me, because I used to find it quite heavy going. So the other thing that I do to complement this is outside my in-transit-based ideas, I've also stumbled across a really interesting book called Smarter by Sunday, which is 52 Weekends of Essential Knowledge for the Curious Mind. And I sort of, the original plan with this, and you'll get the joke about this, is it was originally planning it to read as part of my digital Sabbath. So this idea of like, every Saturday, because I work in IT, you know, 9 to 5, I would like, okay, no IT for me on Saturday. So I dig out this digital Sabbath, and then I hit on a problem. As I use my Kindle for reading, I am now using something digital. So that there I'm already stuck. And if I'm following up with iPod stuff, that's also a digital device. So that was a bit of a disaster on that front. So I've turned my digital Sabbath into a computer Sabbath. And the first thing I'm reading, or have been reading, is The Birth of Western Literature, which rather conveniently, because of most of the early chapters in Warburton's book about Greek philosophers, it actually covers things like the Iliad, the Odyssey, and the origins of theatre, and you know, basically Greek drama. So I found it really, really helpful. And as I sort of reflect on my current framework for philosophy, I think about what has and hasn't worked in the past. And what I've found, and this is really, I suppose, where I'm going with this, is that I think it's been a good combination of both the familiar and the unfamiliar. It's basically been getting the two right. So there's some things that I already fairly well understand in philosophy, and some things I'm completely clueless about. And what's happened is that the book's given me that backbone to work around, that something to get around that. So in effect, I now have a philosophy about studying philosophy. Because that to me is what a lot of philosophy is about, is creating frameworks in which you can sort of manipulate and look at what you're doing. So just to summarise that, and in sort of conclusion of this, here's my recommendations for happy philosophical discussions. Now, this isn't intended to be an academic. For someone that's studying academically, there'd be a completely different approach. But this is for my sort of slightly more casual philosophy approach, which is to allocate time each week for your studies. That's obviously the most important thing, is to say, okay, I'm going to set aside, you know, my 45 minutes commute either way to do that. And then decide on how many days you want to reflect. So I've decided, like, 2 weeks is a nice time to think about all these things and actually do some philosophy. It's all right to read about philosophy, it's quite something different to actually do it. And find a book that creates a backbone for your studies. Find a podcast that complements those studies. Find a history of, that will also help, so it gives you like a background. Obviously read the key text that they're talking about rather than just the summary. Find a good visual source to complement that. So YouTube's a really good place for that. You can go on and find all sorts of interesting historical documentaries about Aristotle or Plato or a number of other philosophers. And just also obtain a good encyclopedia or history of, and that is going to help with key terms. And of course, a lot of this stuff is available through the wonderful library system, so you don't even have to have one of these infernal contraptions. So just spinning it round to the area of Zeno. So one final thought based around Zeno, and specifically what's called his, I believe it's dichotomy paradox. So that which is in locomotion must arrive at the halfway stage before it arrives at the goal. Okay, so apparently this was recounted in Aristotle's Physics. So the paradox is this. So it actually requires one to complete an infinite number of tasks, which by Zeno's paradox is actually impossible. So you never get where you're going. So that's why I wouldn't want Zeno basically driving my bus. So maybe on our way to our goal of giving life meaning, be our framework religious, spiritual, philosophical, scientific, something else, or any combination thereof. Like Zeno, we never get there. However, we find on reflection that it's actually the journey that gave our life meaning. And I'm just going to end with one final quote from a great philosopher. Truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away. Anybody know who that's from? That's Elvis Presley.